Parshas Vayikra, Tovshin Ayin Dalet. The Parsha begins with the word Vayikra El Moshe. He called out to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then it says Vayedaber Hashem Elov Me'oyel Moed Leimor. Hashem spoke to him from the Oyel Moed. Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos, in the laws of Mako Ushmira Sanefesh, chapter 4, paragraph 7, touches on this point that it seems interesting. We're starting not just a new parsha, but we're starting a new book in the Torah, an entire book. It begins with a pronoun, Vayikra El Moshe. He called to Moshe. Who's the he? Doesn't say. It starts off Vayikra El Moshe. He called to Moshe, and only afterwards does it say Vayedaber Hashem Elov. Hashem spoke to him. Would seem logically it should have said Vayikra Hashem El Moshe Vayedaber Elov. The Medrash on this pasuk says Hadohu Dechsiv Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That this is related to what it says in the Torah. The most outstanding statement, declaration of our faith in Hashem, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shema Yisrael, listen, Jewish people. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. This pasuk is taking place, the pasuk Vayikra, is taking place after the Mishkan was completed. And the last pasuk in Parsha Shmos tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu would come to the Mishkan, he would hear the voice of Hashem speaking to him, Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, from between the two cherubs. And then it begins with the word Vayikra. He called out without saying who it is. Rav Nosson Zal says this he, very often throughout the Torah, when we have this kind of pronoun, we know sometimes we refer to Hashem as you. When we make a bracha, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem. And there are some times when we refer to Hashem in the third person. This he is referring to the level of Hashem that's above all of Hashem's names, that's beyond any constriction, any limitation. Literally above Yud Kei Vav Kei, above all the names of Hashem. That it's from there that Hashem called out to Moshe Rabbeinu. And afterwards, that's step one, is Hashem reaching out from the top of the top, a place that's so high that it can't be put into any words or any names even, any names of Hashem. And it's after that, that Kaviyochel Hashem lowers himself and allows himself to be contained within a name. Afterwards it says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe. And this is also the concept of the small aleph at the end of Vayikra, whereby the Sfarim tell us that as a result of the Jews worshipping the golden calf, Hashem took away from Moshe Rabbeinu and from the Jewish people 1,000 lights, 1,000 levels of light were taken away from us and taken away from Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is returned to us on Shabbos. In the Shmon Esrei of Shabbos morning, we begin with the words, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. Moshe Rabbeinu rejoices with the gift that he's given, the gift, the portion that he is given. And the Arizal says this refers to the fact that on Shabbos, Hashem restores to Moshe Rabbeinu those 1,000 lights which were taken away as a result of the sin of the golden calf. They're restored to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why, because of that, we cannot receive Hashem's light in one shot. It's got to be a phased approach, Kaviyochel, that's hinted to in this small aleph. That first, Hashem has to call out to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikra, from where? From way, way, way up above. And again, don't even know who it is, no mention of Hashem even. Vayikra El Moshe, calling out to Moshe Rabbeinu, and only afterwards is it brought down, is it lowered and constricted into a form of shape of words, the instructions that Hashem has given. And the Medrash, in comparing this to the Shema Yisrael, tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu also, when he wanted to teach the Jewish people about Hashem, He understood. He could have started. He could have announced, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. That's the real message. What do we need? The Shema Yisrael. Listen, Jewish people. Why does that have to be written into the Torah? And that's actually part of our direct declaration of faith. We don't begin with the words Hashem Elokeinu. We begin by saying the words Shema Yisrael. Listen, Jewish people. With this, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us that it's impossible to connect with Hashem without a person preparing themselves. A listening first. A person has to put themselves in a frame of mind where they're willing to listen. We know the Zohar HaKadosh says, Zako man demalel al udne deshama. Fortunate is the person who speaks to ears that are listening. We know that sometimes a person feels they have to say something to somebody, but they're not looking to see whether the person's listening or not, whether the person is ready to hear what they want to, what they're going to say, or whether the person wants it. And then a person can say from today till tomorrow, it's wasted. Sometimes it could only do harm. There's got to be these two steps. Number one is Shema Yisrael, this readiness, this willingness to hear. And then it's possible to go to that next step of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, to receive this. And Shema, listen. Listen means pay attention. Pay attention means give me your ears, give me your soul. We know the ears are one of the windows to the soul. It's brought that there are seven windows to the neshama of a person: the two eyes, the two ears, the two nostrils, and the mouth. When we say Shema Yisrael, this Vayikra El Moshe is saying to make the connection. Attach your soul to Hashem. Then you're ready to receive the message, the Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, or the Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe. Next, we go into chapter 2. The second chapter in this parsha begins with the words, V'nefesh ki sakriv korban minchol Hashem. A soul, a Jewish soul, which will offer a korban mincha to Hashem. The mincha is the lowest, the cheapest, of all the sacrifices that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash. They were sacrifices that entailed bringing an ox, that could have cost $2,000. Then there's a lamb, which could be $100. Then there's birds, which could be $10. And then there's a mincha, korb mincha, which is a handful of flour, which could be $1, 50 cents. So the only one of the sacrifices where the Torah uses this wording, v'nefesh ki sakriv, a soul which will be prepared to sacrifice for Hashem, is only used by the mincha. And the Gemara tells us, Rashi quotes the Gemara, which says, who brings a mincha? Who offers a mincha? A poor person. A person who doesn't have much. Hashem says to this poor person, we know that poor people, when a person writes a check for $18,000 or $180,000, he feels big. When a person donates $18 or $1.80 to charity, usually they attach it with an apology. I'm very sorry that I don't have what to give. If I could give more, I'd love to. They're being apologetic because unfortunately sometimes they feel that their donation is nothing. The Torah shows us here, Hashem says, "Mi darkoi lahakriv mincha?" Who brings the mincha? A poor person? For him, I give him credit. When he gives his $18, when he gives his handful of flour, I will consider it as if he sacrificed himself, as if he put his soul on the Mizbeach. And we know that the word nefesh refers to ratzon, desire, will, willingness. The pasuk says, by Avram Avinu, he said to the Bnei Ches, "Im yeshes nafshechem ligboires misi." If you are willing to allow me to bury my wife, so the word nefesh means rotzim, because Rav Nosson Zal says this refers to a person's desire. I want to give. I know that what I can't give what somebody else can, but I still want to give. I'm not going to allow myself to say, because I can't give $1,800 or $18,000, I won't give the $18. And Rav Nosson Zal explains, we know that all the sacrifices that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, when a person brought a behema, an animal, or a bird, they would place their hands on the animal, on the head of the animal, or on the, and then the animal would be slaughtered. They would shecht it. And the concept of the slaughtering of the behema or the oif is a concept of slaughtering one's evil inclinations, slaughtering the Yetzirah, Zvichas HaYetzer. Whereas the Mincha, there is no Shechita, there's no slaughter. And it refers to the term, the poor person we're referring to here. The Gemara says in the Nedarim, page 41, Ein Oni Ela Min Adas, that when the Torah speaks about a person poor, it's speaking about a person who's poor in knowledge of Hashem, in mitzvahs, in good deeds. And he doesn't have the knowledge, he's not on the level that he can slaughter his Yetzirah, that he can bring the korban and shecht it. But yet still he wants to offer something to Hashem. I'm not on a level to shecht my Yetzirah, to destroy the Yetzirah completely, like slaughtering the korban. The advice is, bring your nefesh, Hashem says. Give me your desire. Show me your willingness. Show me that you want. Even if you're not capable of doing it, show me that you want. This is the Korban Mincha, which refers to those people who are poor. They're not powerful. They're not strong. They're not big rabbis, big tzaddikim. They're poor in their Yiddishkeit. And they can't, they're not on a level to slaughter the Yetzirah. And Hashem says, I consider when such a person comes and gives what he can, he offers a short prayer, he offers his $18, I consider it so precious, the fact that this person is showing his desire for Hashem, that even he's not waiting, he's not like those people who say, I'm going to wait till I get rich, I'm going to wait when I can write a check, that's when I'm going to write it. He doesn't refrain from giving what he can, the little bit that he can, which is this korban mincha, which is the nefesh, the soul, which is the desire. He's offering his desire. I remember a story that took place about 10, 15 years ago. One of my closest friends was involved in a business deal, major business deal that involved about $1 million. Of merchandise, very expensive merchandise, with a buyer who was in Spain at the time, a non-Jew. This was in the winter time, Spain. The buyer was in Spain. He had come to the United States, to New York. He saw some beautiful merchandise and he expressed an interest in it. However, the merchandise had to be brought to him, had to be delivered to Spain, taken over there. And then he would finalize the deal. Two people gathered all of this merchandise, boxed it, packaged it. We're talking about merchandise that might have cost them $200,000 and hoping to sell it for $1 million to this person. And they were connected to Eretz Yisrael, to Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha, so they told him about this incredible deal that they have now. They have an opportunity to earn $800,000 possibly, which means that just the Meiser would be $80,000 and who knows what. He said, I'm with you. Go and we'll pray for you and you should be Matzliach. So sure enough, they made plane tickets, reservations, got on the plane, traveled to Spain, and we know that Spain is 10, 15 years ago, and probably today also, is one of the places on earth that has the least Jews, least Jewish population. Almost no synagogues, just about, and very few Jews walking around in the streets, period. And this was winter time also, it was freezing, very cold. They arrived there, they got to their hotel, but sure enough, they couldn't take the merchandise with them. The merchandise had to first go through customs in Spain. And again, they contacted the buyer that they arrived, and they're hoping to see him. As soon as the merchandise gets out of customs, they'll get in touch with him, and they'll go see him, etc. Hours go by, a few days went by that they were holed up in this hotel until they were able to get the merchandise released. And it was torturous because these are people who enjoy communicate, talking to people, going out in the street. They were like in jail pretty much. Nowhere to go to, no kosher restaurants, no food, no, not eating out of a can of tuna fish or something like that. Waiting for the merchandise to be released to go see the buyer and hoping. And torturous, every hour, every minute that's going by, they're concerned. Finally, after a few days, the merchandise is released and it's on its way to the buyer, and they go see him and they show him the merchandise, and he expresses an interest in some of it. He's not sure if he's going to take the whole thing or not. And he writes them a check for whatever the sum was at the time, $100,000, $200,000, which covers only the cost of the merchandise and the expense of traveling there and shipping over them or everything. It didn't even necessarily cost, didn't yet cover their own personal cost yet. And hopefully he's going to finalize everything, and then they're going to... P.S. What ended up happening was he did not end up really giving anything more than that, if I recall. Either he just gave the 100 or 200,000. They ended up having to get most of the merchandise back, you know, shipping, sending it back, etc. Hold extraordinary difficulties where they ended up just even not profiting at all from this whole thing that took about a week out of their lives, being stuck in nowhere in Spain in the winter there, no minyan, no nothing. And at the time, I remember Reb Michal, my rabbi, mentioned to me, you know, that when they got that first piece of money, the 200,000, whatever the amount was, why didn't they send $180? Why didn't they send $18? Send something. Their thought was, well, we didn't really make any profit. We're going to, when we get the thing, they weren't aware of this piece of Likutei Halachos, where Reb Nosson Zal shows us, don't be silly. Don't be silly. Don't wait for the millions. There are people who are waiting to become big millionaires or big rabbis. When they can learn 12 hours a day, that's when they're going to learn Torah. If they only have 15 minutes, well, they're waiting for that big deal, that big, to be able to offer an ox to Hashem. And they don't know that what Hashem wants even more than the ox, what Hashem considers more precious than the ox, is this handful of flour, if that's all you can give. This doesn't mean that if the wealthy person gives the handful of flour, he's covered. Chas v'shalom, on the contrary. If he writes a check for $18 when he's really capable of giving $18,000, he's in trouble, chas v'shalom. Because he'll get little credit and a major punch from Hashem for not giving what he could have given, what he was supposed to be given. But this message, this recognition, to consider precious that the little bit, the mincha, this small item. And in fact, this is also a message that Reb Nosson Zal expresses going back to Vayikra that we started the shiur with. That the aleph of Vayikra is a small aleph. And this refers to Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Mishkan, coming from this highest place. We know that the Mishkan was comprised of all the good points of each and every single Jew. One Jew gave wood, one Jew gave copper, one Jew, each person gave what they could, their nekuda, their little bit of good that they were able to contribute to make this Mishkan. There's a pasuk which Reb Nosson Zal quotes, and Rabbeinu Zal actually quotes this in chapter 282 in Likutei Moharan, where the pasuk says, "Im yesh olav malach melitz echad mini elef." If a Jew has one positive angel testifying on his behalf out of 1,000 angels, there's 999 angels that were created from the sins he did, and there's one angel that was created from the one mitzvah that this Jew did. Lahagid lodam yoshroi, to speak about the goodness of this person, the pasuk says, pidoeyu mirede shachas. That could redeem, that could save that person from going down to Gehenim. And then the Gemara takes it still further. The Gemara says, one of the opinions says that even in that one angel, in that one mitzvah, if it had 999 mistakes, And one good part, if a person prayed, he davened shachris, and 999 of the words were without cover, weren't good. But in one word, he put his heart into it the way he was supposed to, that word can save the person from going down. And this was the message in how Hashem called out to Moshe Rabbeinu, this Vayikra, this little Aleph, this baby Aleph, referring to the one in a thousand, that this is what the Mishkan was all about, this Mishkan from which Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was comprised of a recognition of the little things, certain little things that a person does that could make a big difference. We usually don't touch on such a topic, but I feel it's important. There are times that a person says, what can I do? What's the difference if I contribute or don't? There's a need for $1 million, what's my $18 gonna do? And the same thing is true when it comes to voting sometimes. Persons in a position, a city, they're choosing a leader of a city or a leader of a country sometimes. And a person says, in the city there's 30,000, 50,000 people. If I vote or don't vote, it doesn't really make a difference. My vote isn't going to change anything. But the person doesn't realize that before you make a decision to do something, one of the things you have to ask yourself is, if everybody else will do the same thing as me, what's going to happen? If everybody follows my lead, what's going to happen? And then decide what to do or not. Right now, in one of the major cities in Eretz Yisrael, the city of Beit Shemesh, there's a whole crisis that started months ago, whole discussion. A mayor who is not observant of mitzvahs, not religious, was voted out and was replaced by a mayor who does observe Shomer Shabbos, mitzvahs, etc. And sure enough, our democratic government and our democratic society, which always follows the majority, except when it doesn't go in their favor, suddenly decided there's all kinds of hanky-panky, and they're having a revote this coming week, this Tuesday. They're doing a revote to see, is it really true? Could it be possible that a religious person got voted into one of the major cities in Eretz Yisrael? Could it be that the religious are taking over? They're going to drown us. They're going to swallow us. Every person has an obligation, a responsibility, those who can. There are those who beshita, don't vote at all, the Zionist state, we're not referring to them. Those who don't hold by the Jewish state, don't hold of any of this, they have their rabbis, they have their leadership. But those who are not part of that community, if a person has a chance to choose that I want somebody who's Shomer Torah u'mitzvahs to be in charge of a city, versus a person who does not keep Shabbos, does not eat kosher, and a person who's advocating that they're going to make sure that the religious people don't take over, each person should choose properly so that chas v'shalom, they shouldn't be asked afterwards, if it comes out chas v'shalom, that this vote, because of all different reasons, justifications that people had not to re-vote, and it comes out chas v'shalom that the religious person gets less votes this time than last time, and the non-religious say, look, you see, chas v'shalom, not to be part of that chilul Hashem, that disgrace, which could put the religious people in a terrible light. Shbizrche, to see Moshiach Tzidkenu, Moshiach ben David, voted in by all of Klal Yisrael, who will bring a tikkun to Eretz Yisrael, to Chutz Loretz, to the whole world. B'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'amen.